For this series that we've entitled Advance, we've been talking about how God asks us to do something sometimes that's far outside of our reach. And the minute that we take a step forward and advance to what God is calling us to do or he's asking us to do, there's always walls that pop up. Always an obstacle, always something that makes us question and wonder, did I hear from God? Did God really show me that or tell me to do that? And we've got to decide that when it comes to obstacles, are we going to let it stop us? Or are we going to say, you know what? It doesn't change the fact that God's called me to the other side. So I'm going to go over it. I'm going to go around it. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go under it. I'm going to leap over it. Whatever it takes. Now, it was about 4 years ago that we had some guests on this stage who were sharing a story about how God was calling them to leave Wisconsin and to go on the other side of the planet to the Himalaya Mountains. And why? To help people there know about Jesus. Now that's a crazy call, that's a crazy thing, but you know what? They took a step forward and they advanced towards it. And so the last time we saw them, they were about to go. And we have been supporting them ever since, and we're excited to have them back here in America, back here in Sun Prairie with us today. We're going to interview and find out what have they been up to, what are they going to be doing, and how can they help us understand what it means to advance. And so I want you to give it up for Dan and Rachel Winnig as they come and join me on the stage here today. We're so glad that you guys are back with us. But there are people that are in this room, as well as people who are watching online, who have no clue who you guys are or what you do or what your family's like or where you're at. So why don't you start off with introducing yourselves today?
Yeah, Dan and Rachel, and we have four kids. One of them's up with us, Levi. In fact, we brought a photo to share with you so you can see the rest of our crew. Nora and Grace and Isaac is our youngest. And when we went to India, Isaac was just 9 months old. And so it's great to be here with you 4 years later, heading back to India next month.
Wow. And so you spent time figuring out what it was like to do this. You've been in the country. You've come back. And we want to hear, you know, a little bit more about the story. So I mean, you guys lived here in Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, God's telling you you're supposed to go on the other side of the planet. How did you know you're supposed to go there?
Yeah, we loved youth pastoring. We were here in Wisconsin working with students and would take trips. And it was on one of those trips to the Himalayas that we were with students at a big event. Rachel was in the hotel room, but I was, because we had two small kids at that time, but I was with the students. And I remember a worker got up and shared his call, his journey, and the need. I remember very clearly hearing this reality that people were, they would live their entire life, generations of people, where they would never have an opportunity or access to even hear once the name of Jesus. And I remember just thinking as I sat in my seat, God, I pray that you would send people like students and leaders, gifted people to go. And then he said, I want you to go.
Whoa. Okay. But there's a lot right there. Let's first break that down. First, is it you're true? There's people in the Himalayas who have never heard the name, the word Jesus.
Yeah, maybe you've heard the word unreached people groups. And we just wanted to give you some context for that with some pictures of our neighborhood to help you understand why people are unreached. We live in a mountainous region, and so we've got some photos behind us that show some of our neighbors in our areas. This is our house, and then the next photo shows some of our roads that go across the mountainsides. 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 feet, peaks rising up to 20,000. Just, it's a remote area. There's another photo that shows a picture of our neighbor on a hillside. And the next photo shows our city at sunset. And so the reason people haven't heard is just because it's a hard place to go to and a hard place to live.
Wow. But then it sounds like you were praying a dangerous prayer that God was getting a hold of your heart to say, God, you know, there's people who need to hear about you. Send people. And like, it's almost like a worst nightmare came true. I'm sending you, not someone else. And that had to have been a little scary.
I remember just all sorts of things in that service really confirmed it in my heart. And I always thought when God calls the husband, he also calls the wife at the same, like it's conference call, right? All parties included in on the information.
But she wasn't there.
She wasn't in the service.
She wasn't there. God's speaking to you, and I'm getting kind of a sense that God wasn't necessarily speaking to Rachel. This is kind of weird. That makes things kind of awkward, doesn't it? And so now I imagine then, though, God's telling you, hey, I'm sending you. Actually, we hope that no one here is scared to pray that prayer to have a heart for people who need to know Jesus, because that tends to be our worst fear. Like, if I really get closer to God, he's sending me to the Himalayas, right? But really, it's about saying yes to God. And that's the only thing we have to offer to God when he's asking us to do something is our yes. And that's when we say when we advance, it's taking that step forward. But we've also been learning here at Focus Church that when you take that step forward in advance, walls come up, barriers, obstacles. And I think you might be highlighting one, but can you share with us like what walls you guys faced in going forward to doing what God asked you to do, to go to the Himalayas?
Yeah, so Dan came back to our hotel room and he said, honey, we're going. And I said, no, we're not. I was not having a spiritual moment that night. I can tell you that. But a big wall happened, and it had the word fear in front of it for me. And this was really, really scary. Yes, I want people to know about Jesus, absolutely. Yes, people need to go, but wow, I'm just a normal person. Normal people do normal things, and that's good. Adventurous people do adventurous things. But I knew God had spoken to Dan. Like, I knew it. This wasn't like his t-shirt company in college or his rock band years. Like, this was a for sure thing in his heart. And so Dan had to fast and pray for me because I couldn't get past that wall of fear and this idea that, God, I can't do it. And through that prayer and through that fasting and me coming before the Lord, I started to hear his voice saying, well, it's not really what you can do, Rachel, because it's what I can do through your yes. And this idea that if God has called us, well, I want to be following him. I don't want to be stuck behind in fear wondering, what if this is what God had for my life and I didn't step out?
Wow. I mean, we talk about our own personal faith and our relationship with God, but it gets a little more complex when we have other people in relationship with us, and I'm glad you guys are sharing that. But there was more to your family. There's children involved. And so how do you move forward with what God has for you when it's not just a marriage, but it's kids? How are the kids affected by this?
We knew that if God has called us, that he's called our kids because we're all a family. And so we've really made it intentional to them that it's not about us, but that they are also called, that they have a purpose and God has a plan for their lives. And we've just seen God's faithfulness as we have continued walking in obedience, that all of those core needs of safety, security, love, friendships, family have been met through these transitions. There's been some rough times with car sickness in mountain roads, with different foods, with monkeys running through the yard, but I mean, it just happens.
Wow. Now, you guys went to the Himalayas for 3 years, but first you had to spend time convincing other churches and groups to say, hey, we're going to back your vision. We're gonna support you. You were there for 3 years. Now you've been back in the United States for 1 year because you have to raise support again and talk to churches. And if I understand correctly, we're the last church before you head back for another 4 years, right?
Yeah, this is it. In March, we'll head back.
March, wow. So very quickly, you're going. Yeah. And that, now, I imagine going to such a foreign land that another obstacle you might have faced is just, it's not America. And so what, if you can name something that's different, that's like, while we were over there, we missed this about home.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things you can point to. We really miss grandmas and grandpas you just birthdays, you know, Christmases, those things you do every year with your family. Foods, absolutely, but most of all, just hugs and time together.
I see. Now, I imagine language was a barrier. So did you have to learn a language in order to communicate? Like, how'd you communicate while you were there?
Absolutely. We believe if you want to share Jesus with someone, you have to do it through their heart language. And so we worked on learning Hindi while we were there.
So you know Hindi?
Yes.
Okay, so we want to test you in this. And so could you greet the people here and online in Hindi and say something about them that we don't know? Maybe you can say just how pretty we look or something. I don't know. And we're going to test you out with Google Translate to see if you really know Hindi.
Oh, my goodness.
Or we won't, but someone might. Okay, so greet us in Hindi.
Right. If you're greeting another believer, you might say, Jai Masihi. You might say, Aap kaise hai, how are you? In the gym, a lot of times we'll be giving commands. And so one time in the gym, I was telling students, Ujjao, telling them to sit up because they were doing sit-ups, Ujjao. But I was saying, Utna, and then I began to say, Unt, Unt, and I shortened it, and I was calling them all camels.
Oh, wow. So I imagine language is kind of a barrier for you, but you mentioned something in there about a gym. Like, what does a gym have to do with helping people find God in the Himalayas?
That's a great segue. We, in our community, can't build buildings, call them churches, and just have people come in to meet Jesus because of government restrictions and even just their own family pressure, whether they're Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Sikh, whatever their background is. There's so many different things that they're walking through that would make it difficult for them to meet Jesus just by coming to a building. So we gather in a gym, meaning we have classes, and anyone can come and hang out and work out and get fit.
Wait, so you guys operate a gym in another country. That's kind of clever. Like, I mean, that's using, you had to come up with a step. Someone had to come up with that idea of that's the way we're going to get there. We know we're supposed to go there, but we got to come up with a plan. And we've been talking with in advance that sometimes we get a plan or a picture of where God wants us to be, but he doesn't give us the steps. Like, I really wish he'd give us the Lego book.
Yeah.
Of here's all the steps, here's all the pieces at the right time, the right place, and you get there. But sometimes we just have to come up with a plan with what we know. And it sounds like someone knew something about CrossFit to open a door here.
Yeah, it really came out of some of our team members were living in that city, building relationships, and just ask, what are you missing here that you wish you had? That this isn't available. And his friend pulled out his phone and pulled up his Instagram feed and had videos of people working out. And he said, we don't have a gym here. And so then our team decided, well, let's see what we can do. We started this gym. God's multiplied out of it. We've got a few photos. In fact, I think of how during COVID, even when our gyms were closed, we started meeting with kids in our yard, just neighborhood kids. And now that's multiplied out. And every Saturday, we have 70 students gathering at this school doing CrossFit together, which out of that, now there's kids' Bible studies. And there's just students growing in the Lord, being baptized and discovering Jesus.
Wow, that's amazing that you're using what you do know to meet a need in the community. So it wasn't like you came in with an idea saying, hey, this is what, but you looked at where you're at. But I'll tell you what, this seems like the most complicated way to invite someone to the gym to Jesus. I mean, you could do that in Wisconsin. I mean, you do not have to do that in the Himalayas. You could do that right where we're at. But that's what God's called you to do.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's amazing how when he calls you, he equips you. And today there's coaches who will be gathering, coaching each of those classes. Not only that, but gathering with their friends, discipling their friends, helping them grow in Jesus, discover Jesus.
Really, yeah. And Rachel, you were the one who was saying, I don't think I can go and I'm a normal person, but you found yourself in this gym thing too. And that's created some space to meet ladies. And we got a picture up of some of these ladies. Tell us about what's going on here.
Yeah, so this is our ladies Zumba class. It was actually my birthday in this picture. And so they had brought cakes for me. And we have one dear friend. She is a Buddhist, and she's been coming to our Zumba classes. She just loves the time with ladies. We love to get away from all of our work and sometimes kids and just have fun together. And as she's been coming to classes, she's been talking to our coach, who is a national, and just saying, your day, how do you start your day? And so we're able to share. We start our day with prayer, reading the Bible, and she's had just so many questions. She has seen how we live our lives and seen our joy and peace and has had so many questions about that. And this past Easter, we had a big picnic, and she came to it, and she was so excited to say, this is the first Easter I've ever had. And so she is on her journey, and it's been so exciting to see the disciples happening as she begins to learn more about who Jesus is.
That's so amazing. That's so cool. And so this gym, just working out with people in your community, has opened the doors to have conversations, how you're living out your life there. And that's so amazing. Your whole family's making a difference. And that is so neat. And I think, Rachel, you said it just a few moments ago, that God wants to use you when you say your yes. And it's not about what we think we can offer, what we think we can accomplish, but it's saying, God's saying he sees you. He sees, he knows you. He knows what you have and what you don't have. He knows who you are and what you are not. And when he's asking you to step forward and to advance into something, to something he has, he's just saying, I want your yes. Will you be willing? Watch what I do through you, because he's made you. He's designed you. He's been preparing you, and you might not even know it. But you know, I think you guys would be perfect people to help speak to the audience today and those watching online in regards to this advance, because you had to overcome barriers, you had to overcome fears and everything. And so if there was someone here watching today and God's been telling them to, hey, I want you to step out and do this, something that they've never done before, what would you encourage them with? Or someone who is stepping out and trying to advance, but they're hitting just barrier after barrier, how would you encourage them today? What would you say to them? And I'd like to hear from both of you on that, both perspectives.
I would say that if you're starting out and you're just having trouble with, you know, moving forward or things like that, to know that Jesus loves you right where you are. If you're struggling with fear or you're struggling with that feeling of I'm a normal person like I did, that Jesus is right with you. He's not waiting for you to become something else, because he loves you where you're at and he's walking with you. And he is the one who's going to teach you. And we can't make ourselves become the perfect person or the perfect person for whatever God is calling us to. But when we say yes, we say, God, teach me and lead me and show me.
Yeah, and I would say along with that, there's nothing, I think of a quote I heard recently, that prayer isn't the key to the greater work, prayer is the greater work. And it was out of a place of prayer that I discovered my call, and it was out of a place of prayer that Rachel discovered her call. And so you have to create space in your life where you say, okay, this meal isn't as important as being with you, Jesus. So instead of eating this meal, I'm gonna go be with you and pray over what you put on my heart. It's cool, we've got maps. Take a map with you. Maybe this week, instead of a meal, pray over the country of India. Pray over the country of Nepal. Pray over maybe a continent, or maybe pray over Dane County. I don't know what God's putting on your heart, but start from a place of prayer and fasting, and man, God will lead the way, no doubt.
So true, so true. It's so good. You know, the whole root of what they are doing in advancing the good news of Jesus is rooted in a command that Jesus actually said himself in Matthew chapter 28. In that, it's something that we refer to as the Great Commission. But really, he's like saying, this is the mission. This is the marching orders. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And here's what he said. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I've taught you, and I will be with you until the end. And that wasn't something that Jesus said. He's like waiting for, hey, where's Dan and Rachel? I just need to tell them this. It was for everyone who would follow after Jesus. And sometimes we look at something like that and say, that's a good statement, but I can't do that. And we look at people like Dan and Rachel and like, wow, they must be like amazing superheroes or something to be able to just leave Wisconsin and go someplace else to follow after God and be on an adventure. And it sounds unbelievable. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Just a few weeks ago, in case you didn't hear, there was a big game that took place, a super game. Just an awesome bowl-type game where some teams wearing red and white played. And did you notice who won? Oh, you didn't. Okay. Now you're just messing with me because this is my chance because I didn't have a chance to say it yet. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and we're excited for that. We celebrated. Yep, exactly. It's nice to root for a winning team. Packers, someday you'll know about that, Packer fans. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Before the next season begins, they're going to have something that they call a ring ceremony. And so because they give out rings to the championship team, and they're all really fancy done, saying that they won Super Bowl 58, they'll sell Chiefs, they'll have jewelry on it, and they're going to give them to all the players. But they won't just give championship rings to the players who were on the field. They also give rings to the coaches who helped them out. They also give rings to the support personnel that were on the sidelines, the medics, the people who are helping out behind the scenes, the people who worked in the offices, office administrators, office assistants. They all get rings. You know why? Because it took everybody to support those players that were on the field. In the same way, when God gives us the Great Commission, it's for all Jesus followers. And he's called specifically Dan and Rachel and their kids to represent us in the Himalayas. And we support them, which means we're on their team. We're their support crew. When you give to Focus Church, you're giving to them. We take a portion of everything that comes in. We say, you know what? We're going to support you guys. We make it financially possible for them to be there. So they represent Focus Church. And that means when they're winning, when they're doing the Great Commission in the Himalayas, we're winning too. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, that we'll receive crowns, that there'll be a crowning ceremony. And according to what we've done, and you may say, well, I'm just a normal person. I didn't do much. But you know what? You were a part of a church, a family who had people on the front lines who were playing the game and who were helping people find God. And guess what? You get credit. You were doing the Great Commissions, but you got to make sure you give and that you pray. Because that's how we support people who are on the front lines, players on the field. And you know what? You know that I'm reminded of the very first time that I met you, Dan, because we were having a meeting of pastors, and this had to be like 5, maybe almost 6 years ago, that there was a meeting of pastors, and they brought this young man up to talk to all the pastors, and they're saying, hey, this guy has a dream that he's supposed to go to the other side of the planet to tell people about Jesus in the most remote place ever, and he needs money. And so they brought him before the pastor, say, will there be churches? Will you support us? And he's getting up, he's making his presentation of what God's called him to do. He hasn't even done it yet. He just knows he's supposed to go. But then, all of a sudden, he got my attention. Let me tell you how he got my attention. He had a gift. He said, I've got a gift for you today. And we're like, whoa. Like, wow, like this guy, this person who wants to be a global worker in the Himalayas, he's got a gift for us. And he goes into his bag and he pulls out an iPhone 10 box. They had just come out. And he's like, I want to give you something. Someone in this room is getting something. And I'm thinking, wow, there's only like 20 people here. Could I be getting an iPhone today? Like, this is so cool. Like, presents are so much fun. Gifts are great. And so he takes out this iPhone box and then opens it up. And inside is his prayer cards that he begins passing out to each person in the room. I was so disappointed, but he had my attention. And, you know, that began the relationship of Focus Church supporting the Wenig call to reach people in the remote areas of the Himalayas. It started with a gift, even if it wasn't a good one. You know. Now, We've been giving gifts ever since, because it was 4 years ago that you were on the stage with us, and we sent you, we blessed you, and we sent you out to go represent us, and we gave you presents. And then we've been supporting you financially every month for the last four and a half years of supporting you financially. And I think even at that time, we've even raised how much we've given you. And so I would just say, hey, keep on going, keep on doing. And then at Christmas time, you know, when you give to the Do Something Fun at Christmas time, all of our workers that are around the world who have children, we give them money to have the biggest Christmas ever for their kids. And you guys have been receptive of that many years over. Hope it's made a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's made such an impact on our kids to know that people in Wisconsin are thinking of us on Christmas.
Yes. You know, you guys don't have the ability to get an extra part-time seasonal job at Christmas time and to make extra money or anything. There's no Christmas bonus in being a global worker with it. And so Focus Church is making a difference and saying, hey, we want to bless you. And today is no different. He mentioned that we're the last church. We're the last church that they visit before they go back to the Himalayas for 4 years. So that means we get to be the church that blesses them and sends them. And so, you know, thinking that this whole thing started off with gifts, we have some gifts for you today. And we found out that you had a need that some luggage is not going to be able to make it back, and you're struggling in this area. And so we want to bring out some luggage right now. We've got some new luggage for you. You needed some carry-on pieces of luggage. We got some luggage for you there. And which is great. So whatever was the broken ones or the falling part, just throw them away, okay? Use these now and let us know if you ever need more. But we also found out that they've been having trouble with their iPhones and charging and everything. And we said, you know what? Let's get rid of the cords and let's go wireless on this whole charging thing. Let's bless them with something that helps keep them connected. So we have another gift for you coming out here in the bag. Wow. And here is a wireless charger for charging their phone, something that they really asked for. They're like, we need this. And we're like, got it. Okay. So we got them a wireless magnetic charger there. But you know what? That's not it. Because, you know, it's fun to bless. You know, he's being gracious right now, but he's already received suitcases for two services. They already got a bag with a charger last service. And so there's more. So there's this, I don't know what color the suitcase is, but
this one?
Bronze. Yeah, that one. Let's bring it up onto the...
It's so heavy.
It's already packed for you. We stuffed a small child in there. We want you to take
Oh, my goodness.
but we like to open it up because we got something else in the suitcase. There's so many zippers. I mean, you might just be expanding the whole thing, making it bigger. Oh, there we go. And inside the suitcase is a new e-reader to use with your kids that you need for your homeschooling, for them education, something you
awesome.
Needed. And you know what? They already got it last service.
Still cool.
It's still cool. It's like something you're excited about, but they're being nice, aren't they? They're being so cool. But we want to be a blessing and everything. And here's the deal. This is now the third service that they've been with us. And Dan and Rachel, they've been awesome here. I mean, they're our heroes. Like they're representing Focus Church. But you know what? Who else is our hero? Levi. Levi's been sitting on the front row right over here. Wave high, Levi. There you go. Levi. He's been so good just being on the sidelines and everything. But you know what, Levi, I need your help for this next part. So if you'll come up here, if you'll take the black suitcase and put the black suitcase up on it, because you know what, it's not just moms and dads who go to a foreign land, it's children too. So Levi, why don't you open up the suitcase, because there's some things for you and your siblings in the suitcase. And they have no idea. This is a surprise to them. This is a real surprise,
okay? Oh my goodness, is this Chiefs paraphernalia here?
You know, that's a good idea. I should have.
Oh,
look at there.
Wow.
For Levi, those are for you. Some new headphones there. Noise canceling, too, for the plane ride and everything.
Goodness.
Oh, for school. And then there is a card for every kid in there. And there's a special something in there to bless them, that they get to pick out something cool that they want to buy before they go back to India.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there we go. All fun. It is fun to be generous. It's fun to be a blessing. And that's who we are as a church. You know, we say at our church that grateful people, we give generously and that we can't outgive God. And it's our honor and pleasure that we get to bless you guys today. And here's the deal. Dan told me, he said, God has taken care of us. We have been able to raise all the funds needed. They have two different budgets that they've had to raise through support from churches like us, a cash budget of what they need to be able to go over there, as well as monthly support. And they're at 100%, which is an amazing deal. But that doesn't mean that there's not extra expenses involved with leaving, or there's extra needs, or because kids grow, you know, they might need clothes, they might need something. And so we said, you know what, this can't be it. This can't be all that we do, that there's got to be something else. There needs to be some cash, just whatever you need. And so, Rachel, I need your help. If you will dig down in the cushion next to you on the couch, you might find something that's been there all along. There's a card.
What?
Go ahead and open that up, and you can read it to yourself, but it's just for you guys. But there's something in it that we want to make sure that you guys are taken care of. And we're so grateful that you have joined us today, that you've been able to be with us. And if you can peek inside, whatever that paper thing that's called a check. And so we want to bless you guys, okay?
Thank
for
you
whatever
so
you guys
much.
Need. Know that Focus Church loves you guys. We're so thankful that you represent us, that you give us credit for doing the Great Commission. You guys are our heroes. Will you give it up for the Winning family, our global workers in the Himalayas? Yes. You inspire us. You help us think. You know what? I'm going to tell you, if this family can leave Wisconsin and go to the Himalayas to do what God's asked them to do, then surely we can talk across the cubicle to our coworker. Surely we can go next door and talk to our neighbor. Surely we can share our story or invite a friend. If they can do this, then we can too. God just needs your yes. So the Bible says in the book of Acts that there is a moment where the whole church was praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them while they were praying. And he instructed them to set apart these two people, that God wanted to send out these two people who were going to share the good news of Jesus in foreign countries. And so they listened and they set apart them and they placed them in the middle of them. And they laid hands on them and they prayed over them and they sent them out with blessing. And that's what we're gonna do once again. We did it 4 years ago. We get to do it again for their next journey, going back to the Himalayas. And so what I'm going to do, Dan, Rachel, Levi, if you guys will stand on the floor just right down here, I want everyone who's part of the family here, if you'll get up out of your seats, let's surround them. Let's lay our hands on them. Let's get near them. Just point your hands towards them. We're going to pray over them, that we've just blessed them, and now we're going to pray over them and send them back to the Himalayas, bringing hope that is found in Jesus. Let's gather around them, lay hands, point your hands toward them. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for the Winnick family. God, you called them out to reach people on the other side of this planet, and that's a big ask, but they said yes, and they advanced forward, and they did what you asked, and now they're going back. That this is the last time that they're with the church. And God, we thank you for the honor and privilege of being the blessing and sending church here today. That God, I pray that you would bless them, that you would provide for all their needs as they head back to what you called them to do. God, I pray that you would anoint them and give them opportunities, that you'd give them the words to say, give them opportunities to be able to reach people for you, to make a difference in these communities. God, it amazes and blows our minds to think that there are people who have never even heard your name before. These unreached people groups. But God, it's people like the Winnicks who are saying yes to you that you can use to make a difference. So God, I pray blessing on their gym. I pray blessings on their team. I pray blessings, God, in everything that they set out to do. But God, we just don't ask for blessing. We ask for protection. There are so many dangers. There's so many fears. And God, I pray that you would just surround them. Help them to know that you're near always, that you don't leave us, you don't forget about us, but you're there, that you care about Dan and Rachel. You care about all the children, every single one of them. And God, I pray that with every step they take to advance your kingdom, that with every act of obedience and moving forward, with every obstacle that they overcome, God, I pray you would show yourself faithful and true, that you are there. God, we thank you for the Winnick family. Be with them as we bless and send them here today, representing this family and others to do your work in the Himalayas. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Winnick family. You can head back to your seat. They're going to be headed downstairs to talk with our elementary kids. We love also the opportunity that it's not just about us getting to meet, you know, these global workers, but we want the kids to meet them as well. And do know that when service is done today, they'll be hanging out in the lobby and get their prayer cards, get a map, decide to pray for them as they're on this journey. Put their picture up on your fridge or a reminder that, hey, there's people who said yes, and if they can say yes, then I can say yes too. Now today, we've been talking about how there's hope that is found in Jesus. And some of you are here today, and whether you're here in person or you're watching online, where you're thinking, I'm not even sure how I got here today. Like, I wasn't planning on this. This was not on my radar. I don't know why I'm here. But let me tell you, the Bible says that God is constantly drawing people to him. You see, the thing is, considering the fact that we're all human, we all have a condition. It's a sin problem. And we're born into it. It's not something we just take on. It's just who we are. And that's thanks to our great descendants, Adam and Eve, that God created a perfect garden, but he gave them a choice and they were deceived and they messed up. And their punishment wasn't just for them. It was for everyone who would ever be born. So as long as you are human, everyone besides that person, as long as you're human, then we carry the same eternal punishment that Adam and Eve brought on themselves. And that is eternal separation from God and hell forever. You say, whoa, Pastor, that's harsh. You see, God's designed us to have a relationship with him. That the emptiness that you feel inside, that you've been trying to fill with things, stuff, relationships, nothing has seemed to satisfy it, because it's a God-sized hole that's in your heart that can only be filled with him. You see, when it comes to our sin problem that we have, we can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can't do good enough. We can't just be good enough. We can't just help enough old ladies across the street. I mean, we can't give enough money. There's nothing we can do to take care of it. And so that means we're doomed. We're going to go to hell. And that stinks. And you may say, Pastor, I mean, I don't think a loving God would send people to hell. Like, that just seems wrong. Well, let me tell you what an unloving God would do. An unloving God would say, stinks to be you. Oh, well, life's not fair. But that's not what God did. You see, the Bible says that God loved you and he loved me so much that he made a way even when humankind had messed up. You see, someone would have to pay the price for our sin, for our wrongs. Someone would have to do the work to pay the price for forgiveness. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to pay the price with his own life. You see, when Jesus came to this planet, he didn't come to be a good guy. He didn't come to start a religious movement. He didn't come to do some miracles. He didn't come just to do some teachings, to be a good teacher. Now, although he did those things, that wasn't his purpose. That wasn't his mission. Instead, his mission was one thing. It had one focus to it. He was sent by God to pay the price with his life so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could be set free from the eternal punishment that we are destined for, so that we could have hope, that we can have a relationship with God, so that we could be a part of his family, so we can know that we're going to heaven, and while we live on this earth, we can have purpose. You know what our purpose is? To help others find God. I'm not talking about life is going to be butterflies and rainbows, but I'm talking about, you know what? God describes a life like we could never imagine. Hope, purpose, focus, mission. That's what it's all about. You see, we're part of something bigger here. But you know, when it comes to following God, when it comes to a present, when it comes to a gift, God's already done the work. He's already sent his son. His son has already paid the price. There's already a present that's been wrapped that has your name on it. But you know what? Just because there's a present, just because it's available, just because it has your name on it, doesn't mean you have it. Sometimes you got to take some action on your own to open a gift. Just like Levi had to open a suitcase to get his headphones. It was there. It was his. And the saving grace, the hope that's found in Jesus, is there with your name on it. And you've got to do something to open it as well. You may say, Pastor, what do I got to do? I want what you're talking about. Well, the Bible describes in order to receive this gift that's already been paid for with the blood of Jesus himself on the cross, that you've got to have a conversation with God. We call this conversation prayer. It's not hard. It's simply telling God. It's first, you know, really recognizing, saying, God, I'm not worthy. I'm really sorry for the sin of my life. It's then saying, God, I believe. I believe you love me. I believe you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. We're claiming the gift that has our name on it. And finally, we got to go all in. We got to make that decision to say, God, you're the boss of me. I'm not in charge anymore. It's like if our life was a car, we're like, hey, you take the keys, I got shotgun. You just tell me where to go, I'm with you. We follow him. He becomes the leader of our life. Today, we celebrated people going public with their faith, with this tub of water. We watched online on the screen as people said, yes, I love God. Yes, I've made him the leader of my life. You see, because the cool thing about having this conversation with God and going all in is that you're not meant to follow Jesus alone. You're supposed to do that with the family. So we have a private prayer, but then we have a public celebration. It's two parts. I want to help you today with the prayer part. So I'm going to ask everyone in the room, even those watching online, if you would take a moment to just bow your heads with me, to close your eyes. You see, I'm going to pray this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces, and I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer as well out loud, repeating after me. The Bible says it's with our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud, that God, you're in charge of me. You're my Lord. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today. You're not the only one who's going to be speaking out, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us, because no one prays alone here, because this is the most important thing that we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so let's pray this prayer together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.